All right, so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Steph had a terrific sermon about expectations. And Pastor Kurt mentioned that last week when he spoke. And I left that Sunday, and I was milling over her message. And as I did, I heard these three words: faith, trust, and believe. So I thought, well, I wonder if they're the same or if they're different. It seemed like they were a little different. So I felt like that's what we were to talk about today: faith, trust, and believe. So we're going to start with a very familiar story, but we're going to look at it a little differently. So if you want to follow along, you don't have to. You can turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, if you would like to follow along. So I'm going to tell part of the story and then read part of the story. So Jesus was teaching. He had taught all day. It was evening. He said to his disciples, "Go ahead and go across the sea." It was the Sea of Galilee. "And I'll meet you on the other side." Now, I don't know if he knew how he was going to get there or if they knew how he was going to get there, but they ended up being out in the night in a storm. So we all remember that, right? They're in the boat. They're in a storm. It says between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So come on, they've been in this storm bouncing around for a while. Winds, waves, you know, water's coming in the boat. And so picture it being pitch dark and you being out in the middle of a sea. Now, I've never done that. I was kidding Mom the other day. Our family used to boat at Lake Mead, Pennsylvania. And no matter how nasty it looked out, Miss Sunshine would always say, "It's going to clear up. It's going to clear up." So we would all load up, take all of our food, take the gas, take everything. We'd be out in the middle of the lake. And one time, Dad said, "Dolores, it's just getting dark." "Oh, no, it's going to clear up." And about that time, crash! And we're like, okay, we're going in. We're not going to be out in the middle of the lake in a thunderstorm in a metal pontoon boat. Not a good idea, right? So here are these guys, and they're out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and it's nighttime. They've been out there for hours. It's pitch dark, 3 a.m., and they look out and they see something. Okay, now, some of us might be a little superstitious, I don't know, but they were, and they're like, "I don't know what that is. That might be a ghost." And Jesus says, "No, no, it's not a ghost." So we're going to pick up the story there. Let me find that verse for you. Okay, "It's a ghost," they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter said, "Well, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the waters." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. So I want to break out those three words that I told us we were going to talk about today: faith, trust, and believe. So faith is in Jesus. Okay, the first thing he said, it's I. Okay, it's me, Jesus. So our faith has to be in Jesus. It can't be in anything else. Sometimes we put it in doctors. Sometimes we put it in medicine. Sometimes we put it in other people. Sometimes we put it in the government. Sometimes we put it in what we hear in the news. But out in the middle of that storm, in the pitch dark, his friends weren't going to get him out of the situation. The weather was not going to get him out of the situation. The Coast Guard was not going to fly in and rescue him by helicopter. His faith had to be in Jesus alone. The trust was in Jesus' words, in his promises. That's what our trust needs to be in. What did Jesus say? He said one word, one single word: come. Sometimes that's all we have to depend on, is just one single word. Stay quiet, do not fear, trust, believe, hope, peace, joy. Sometimes we only hear a word. Now, I was also noting what he didn't say. Jesus didn't say, "So Peter and guys, you stay in the boat, I'm coming to you." See, I think I would have preferred that one, right? Because then I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to sit in the boat, and I know Jesus is coming to me. That's not the word Jesus said. He said, come. So that means that requires an action on my part. That required an action on Peter's part. Right, Pastor Van? The other thing Jesus didn't say was, so Peter, wait for me to calm the storm, then you come. See, that's the other answer I like. Either Jesus, you're coming to my boat, or you're going to calm the storm, and then you're going to tell me what to do. Jesus said, come, right in the middle of the storm. Now, why would Jesus do that, right? Okay, so our faith is in Jesus alone, nobody else or nothing else. Our trust is in his promises, his written word, his spoken word, and then our belief is that he'll do the miraculous. So you have faith in Jesus, you trust what he says, and then you believe. So where was the minute of believing? The minute of believing is when the boy stepped out of the boat and knew he wasn't going to the bottom of the sea. Okay? So sometimes we have to take that step out to see the miraculous. Faith, trust, believe. We're believing and expecting Jesus to do the miraculous. And sometimes it involves us taking an action, even when still in the midst of the storm. Yeah, I don't really like that. I mean, I wrote it, I read it, I'm trying to believe it, but that doesn't mean I like it. So, a little story about my picture today. So, I got this picture of Jesus walking on the water at the Silver Springs Flea Market. How many of you are old enough to remember the Silver Springs Flea Market? I happened to be there, and I hardly ever went, but I happened to go along with mother and her mother, my grandma, down to the flea market. I was probably 19 or 20, and you know, one of the reasons I don't like those is I don't really care for antiques. Number two, I just get overwhelmed. You know, there's 300 million things in each booth to look at, and if I'm going to walk through, I want to try to look at least some of them, and I just get overwhelmed. So there was this big room with stuff all over, if you remember that. And we're walking around, and this is hanging up on the wall, and I go to walk past it, and I felt I should go back. And I'm like, I don't even like antiques, but yeah, it's Jesus. Okay, well, I know it's Jesus. So what's Jesus doing? Well, he's walking on the water. And I felt that I should buy that. So I'm going to try to share this because you know me. Once I get emotional, I get very emotional, so I try not to be emotional at all. So this picture has been one of the most important pictures in my life because a number of times Jesus has said to me, step out of the boat. I'm like, oh. He goes, remember the picture. I'm there. I'm in the water. And I'm telling you to step out of the boat. So one of the first ones was when I, and most of you have heard this story, so I'm going to make it very short. I was working for a national company in York, PA. I loved it. I had already had 3 advancements in 2 years. And I thought that's where I was going to stay. And the Lord said, quit your job and go to Elam. Yeah, uh-huh. And your wife's going to quit her job, which is even a better paying job than your job. And we have 2 kids. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Remember the picture. Step out of the boat, and I'll meet you when you do. So I had to quit my job. Stacy quit her job. We still owned the house in downtown Carlisle. We were moving up there with no jobs, no income. And we had to rent an apartment. And I had to pay for school. Yeah. step out of the boat. So then a number of years after that, we come back here, and I'm on staff. Let me see if that's my next one. I think it is. Okay, yep. And I'm looking for a part-time job. And the CEO of a financial institution said, hey, if you ever want to volunteer or work here, let us know. I think you'd be a good fit. Okay, never worked in a bank, never been a teller. Lord said, step out of the boat. I go in, I do my entry tests, I do my interview. That same day, the lady says to me, who is now my boss again at this new institution that I've been at, and she said, we're going to hire you as a part-time teller. Okay. Had to learn all that brand new. Stepping out of the boat, believing again. So then I'm here, and it seemed like every place I went, every conference, Karen Ham used to chuckle. She'd say, every time you go somewhere, you get a prophetic word. Why is that? I'm like, I don't know. Every place I went, I heard, you're in a transition. You're in a transition. You're in a transition. Nothing's changing. There is no transition. I'm like, I don't get this. Then Reverend Nancy Clark came, and she looked at me, and she said, you're going to be doing the same things in a different way at the same place. So after she left, I go to Pastor Al and Pastor Karen, and I'm like, do you have any idea what that means? They said, nope. We'll pray about it. You pray about it. 6 months later, I went to them. I said, that's not happening. They said, we agree. I said, so does that mean I'm supposed to do something different, go somewhere? They said, no, it said same place. Well, then, as you know, Pastor Al passed away. So here I am, doing the same things in a different way, but at the same place. Another stepping out of the boat. Because he had passed away 3 days, and Pastor Karen said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I'll pray about it. You pray about it. And the Lord said to me that day, you're to be the next senior pastor. I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't never wanted to be senior pastor. I'm happy being associate pastor. He said, no, you're the next senior pastor. So I go to Karen, and I share it with her, and she said, yeah. Great. You know, you could at least said, I don't think so, maybe. She goes, yeah, great. That's what I'm thinking we should do. Okay. Step out of the boat. Okay. Here we are again. Okay. Faith, trust, and believe. Senior pastor isn't anything like associate pastor. I thought it would be. It's not. So a number of times I've had to have faith in Jesus, trust his promises, believe him to do the miraculous. That's our message today. Faith, trust, believe through all those situations. And guess what, folks? Here I am again. We're going through a transition. And at the end of the transition, I have to have faith, trust, and belief that he's going to show me what's next. So he'll remind me about that picture again. Here I am. I didn't go anywhere. Jesus is saying, believe me, step out of the boat, and I'll do the miraculous. Okay? You following along? So we're going to look at those three words a little bit and then end with another Bible story. Okay? So you ready for some scriptures? And please don't turn to all of them, because by the time you get there, I'll be on the next one. But if you want to write them down, that's great. We'll look at them together as I read them. Acts 3:16. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed before your very eyes. Okay? So I want you to note the faith and the result. The faith in the name of Jesus. Healed. Romans 3:22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus, saved. Luke 7:48 and 50. Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Faith in Jesus brought forgiven and saved. 1 John 2:13. I am writing to you who are mature in your faith because you know Christ. The more we know Jesus, the better we know him, the better we understand his character, our faith increases. Because you can say, Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the same that healed this person. You're the same that saved this person. You're the same that called Peter to walk on the water. Same Jesus. Ephesians 6:16. Hold up the shield of faith to stop all the fiery arrows of the devil. So we use faith as a shield. We put it up when the enemy tries to attack our mind and our thoughts, send these arrows to us. We use faith as a shield to defeat, to stop all of his thoughts and attacks. James 5:15. A prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. So faith equals the Lord will heal. And that word means make well. James 1:6. When you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Remember, we said Peter's faith had to be in Jesus alone. Couldn't be in his friends. Couldn't be in anybody flying in to help him. Couldn't be in the boat. Couldn't be in the weather. Had to be in Jesus alone. And that verse says to make sure that when you ask him, your faith is in God alone. Trust. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Happy are those who trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7-8. And have made the Lord their hope and confidence. So let's see what you're like when you trust in the Lord and make him your hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that run deep down into the water. These trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long seasons of drought. So think about that. You're going through a season where you just feel dry and things are weary and you're tired and you're hot. But if your roots are deep into Jesus, you have water to draw from. You have a connection with the Holy Spirit to pull from. And it says, their leaves will stay green and they will never stop producing fruit. Wow, what a promise that is. Even when you're going through a dry time, if you have a deep connection with Jesus, you'll have something to draw from. You'll have a supply. Proverbs 3:5. Most of you know this. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart, part of your heart, most of your heart. All of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Wow, I should have that one written across my forehead. Remember Jesus told some of the Jews to, Jesus didn't. The prophet said, you know, write it across your forehead so you remember it. Well, that's one for me. Because I'm always thinking, now if I did this, then that would happen. If I did this, then maybe that would happen. Don't trust on your own understanding. That's easier said than done for many of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right. Mark 11, if you want to turn there, this is our believe section. Mark 11. And again, this is very familiar. But we're going to look at it with our three words today. Faith, trust, and believe. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Okay, there we go. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, okay, there's our belief, that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. So faith in God, believe that the miraculous will happen, and what does it say can hinder our prayers? Unforgiveness. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Remember, we said faith in Jesus and believing that he will do the miraculous. You combine those two, you declare the name of Jesus, and it says that you will be saved. Not might be, not could be. You don't have to ever go back and question it. It's done. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So then we have another story, and I think either Pastor Kurt shared it last week or Pastor Steph the week before, or maybe both of them, but we're looking at it again with our three words: faith, trust, and believe. So a father has a son who's demon-possessed. And remember, it says he throws the kid down, he foams, he comes to the disciples because Jesus wasn't around in that village, and they said to the disciples, can you take care of this? Well, they've done it before, and they said yes, they could, but they couldn't cast it out, right? So then Jesus shows up, and he says, so how long has he had this? And they said, since he was little. And the father says to Jesus, help us if you can. Do you see faith, trust, or belief? Not quite yet, right? Jesus said, if I can, and he says, anything is possible if you believe. And what did the father say? Help my unbelief. So that's something we can always pray. We have faith in Jesus, we trust his promises, but we're not quite to believing he will do the miraculous. Then we just say, help my unbelief. Increase my faith. And Jesus commands the spirit to come out, and of course it immediately does. Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Romans 4:21. He was fully convinced, that word means believed, that God is able to do what he promised. Fully convinced, believed that God is able to do what he promised. Faith in Jesus alone, trust in what he promised, believe that he will do the miraculous. Okay. Let's turn to Ephesians 3:20. We're going to break that verse down a little bit. Ephesians 3:20. Give you a minute to turn there. Galatians, Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians. All together there. So Ephesians is the second one, chapter 3, verse 20. I thought it was interesting that my wife picked some songs today that had these very words in them. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let's break that verse out a little bit. Now to him who is able, that word means has the power and the might. Come on. So we shouldn't be questioning if he has the power or the might. To do exceedingly abundantly above. That's a very interesting word because it's one word in the Greek that means just that. Super abundantly. More than an abundance. I would be happy if it just said who's able to do abundantly. But it's exceedingly abundantly above. Come on. I don't know if there's another way to express what God is able to do. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Ask means to make a request. Yeah, I have a lot of requests. Any of you? Exceedingly abundantly. Or think. Yeah, okay, I can even think a lot more. Exceedingly abundantly. Come on. According to the power, his mighty miraculous power. That's what that word is. That works, that word means is active. Works is inactive in you and I. His power, miraculous power, can do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think because his mighty power is working in us. See, I like to think his mighty power is working here and it's working there and it's going to help this person and it's going to help that. Wait, it says in you. In you. Faith in Jesus, trust in his promises, believe he'll do the miraculous. So when we place our faith in that God that we just described, our God, anything is possible and nothing is impossible. This morning, in early morning prayer, Marty shared with us a scripture, and she goes, and anything's possible with God. I thought, oh, she's going to preach my sermon. Anything is possible, and nothing is impossible. So that should cause us to dream, and that should cause us to expect. So what is our expectation level? Galatians 5:5. We who live by the Spirit eagerly await, eagerly, with expectation, await, to receive by faith the hope of righteousness. So it's okay to eagerly hope and expect with our faith in Jesus to believe that he's going to do the miraculous. Verse 6 says, when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, remember, Jesus alone. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. So what are you believing for? Did you come today believing for our all-powerful, mighty God, nothing is impossible with him, to do today? Okay, we're going to end just with talking with about Joseph. And then we're going to have some time of ministry. And we're going to have faith in Jesus, trust in his promises, and believe him to do the miraculous. Can we all do that together? Hey, when we're believing that together, I'm expecting some powerful things to happen. Okay, so let's review Joseph. He had a dream. Is it because he ate bad popcorn before bed? No, God gave him a dream, right? God gave him this dream. He announces the dream. And then what happens? Anything but the dream. Sold by his brothers into slavery. Accused of doing something he didn't do. Now he's in jail. So I'm thinking, okay, that happened to me. Would I, in jail, still be having faith, trusting, and expecting? Okay, so now he's in there. Think about this with me. He's in there probably for months, maybe years. Maybe years. He's in prison. Dark. Locked up. Does that sound like people bowing down to you? Nothing like it. Nothing like it. And two guys have dreams. He interprets the dreams, And he said to the food taster, he said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. 3 days. Now, when you're restored, remember what I did. So, 3 days come, there's a knock at the door, they open it up, and they say, okay, Pharaoh said he's forgiven you, you can come back. So what would you do if you were Joseph? You'd think, yes, finally, after all this time in prison, today's the day. He's going to go up and say, Pharaoh, guess what happened in prison? That happened? So then you're thinking, okay, maybe he'll do it tomorrow. Maybe next week. If you haven't read that story lately, 2 years. Come on! 2 years every day he's thinking, maybe today, maybe today. Then finally, Pharaoh has a dream, and he can't get anybody to interpret it. And this man, who Joseph had interpreted his dream, says, oh, I forgot. 2 years ago, in prison, this Jewish captive interpreted my dream. I bet he can interpret yours. So finally, he started that day in prison. He's released from prison. He interprets the dream. Well, that would be pretty exciting, right? And be released from prison. Well, not just that, but he was made second in the land. Everybody bowed down to him. And then a couple months later, his whole family did. The dream was complete. I don't know if I would have held on to the dream that long. Just being honest. Especially after the 2 years of forgetting me. And I'm wondering if he's not sitting there saying, God, I trusted you. God, I believed you. And then there's the knock on the door and they say, Pharaoh wants to talk to you, Joseph. Come on. So I'm believing for some of us, today's that day. That God is saying, okay, you've been believing for some things to happen in your heart, to happen in your life, happen in your body, happen in your relationships, happen in your finances. We're going to place our faith in Jesus. We're going to trust his word, trust his promises, and then we're going to believe him to do the miraculous. How does that sound? Okay, so I forgot to tell you guys, I do have a song if you've left Windows Media Player up. We had three different sets of people in the sound room today, so excuse me a second. What's the song? Okay, there we are. All right, so let's stand. You can kneel, you can come forward. I've asked Pastor Van and Pastor Steph to come up and join us in praying for people up front here. Is it not projecting? I'll come back and work on that. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus.
Chase to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never.